Welcome to the Marian Message, presented by the Mosaic of Marian podcast. Each week, we'll hear God's Word explored by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. as he preaches from the pulpit of Marian Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. We pray that this message will be a blessing and further your walk with God. Let's join him now.
Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Man, we had a great sunrise service, at least from my perspective. It was great. Since I was the one preaching, so we had a great time, had a great crowd there this morning. But now, just for a few moments, we still got a lot to do in this service, and so want to be truthful and impactful by God's Word. We're going to let God's Word do that. Would you stand at the reading of God's Word if you're able and willing? Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and then I'm going to jump in. Therefore... Now, I know people make fun of me when I say therefore is always there for a reason, but it is there for a reason. Paul, when he writes that, what he's saying is because of everything that I've said in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, I want to bring it to this conclusion, and I want to sum up some things as I begin to tell you some new things. As a result of all those things, let me tell you these things. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Father, God, thank you for this day. But God, it's not just a day, you're alive today. Although you resurrected so many thousands of years ago, you're still alive today at the right hand of the Father, sitting there waiting one day to call your church home. So God, let us never forget that truth and never let us just celebrate Easter one day, but God, every day, because you have defeated death, hell, and the grave. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to walk through this fairly quickly and make a few extra points, and then we'll go. But first off, I want to see this as we look here. What Paul does after the therefore is he gives us the basic structure of our faith. He gives us the basic structure of our faith when he says that, therefore, since we have been justified by faith. In other words, that word justified, don't get thrown off by this big word. That word justified just means we now have a right standing. We've now been made just. Our sins have been washed away. We've made it so that Jesus could clothe us with his righteousness. And now we have this legal standing before Almighty God that he can look upon us and that we've understood in Romans 3:23, where the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that we're a sinner, but we've come to know that, and then we've moved past that to the truth that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus died for us, and he rose again on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and now we stand justified, clothed in the pure, perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul starts out right here. And as a result of that, I'm just going to walk through these first ones. I'm telling you, as a result, we now have peace with God. You may say, well, preacher, I didn't know that I was at war with God. If you are a sinner today, if you've never come to accept Him as Lord and Savior, if there's never been a moment of repentance in your life, if there's never been that change, you're at war with God. But Jesus came to bring peace. He broke down the barrier, Paul writes in another epistle, and He brings us together, that word of reconciliation. He brings two warring parties together and creates a place of peace where we love God and He loves us. He's our Father. Then we move on from there, and faith gets us access. I love that. He says, through Him we have also obtained access. Flip over to Galatians chapter 1 really quickly. Over there in Galatians chapter 1, it's the same word that is used right here. It gives us this great picture. In in Galatians chapter 1, here's the same word. I am astonished, in verse 6, that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you into the grace of Christ. That's what He's saying right now. We have obtained this access by faith into grace because He's called us. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, I believe firmly that He is calling you today into this grace by faith. If you would come by simple, childlike faith, acknowledging your sin and your failures and your falls, Jesus there just offers us grace. You may say, well, preacher, I need to clean myself up. No. Understand this, and I love this quote. And he tells me I don't have to give him credit, but Bruce taught me this, and grace is the catalyst of change. Once you come to understand the grace of God, and once you come by faith, God begins to change you. You see, I love to fish. Well, and a lot of you do too. When you fish and you catch one, you don't dive out of the boat, grab your line, and swim down and clean the fish while it's still on the hook. You clean the fish when you get it in the boat. That's how God works. You just come as you are. And He'll begin, by the power of grace in your life, clean you up. You may say, well, preacher, I don't think I can change who I am. You don't understand the resurrection power. Preacher, I just got some habits that I don't think I can get rid of. You don't understand the power of grace. And when you begin to understand it, and then He goes on this list of, He tells us what happens in us. We rejoice in our sufferings, which is a conundrum, isn't it? But we're understanding that that's the grace that's working in us to prove things in us, and that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance, character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So God uses everything that's in His arsenal, and everything is in His arsenal. And that grace that He comes, He puts you in places that you only can rely upon Him. And that's where He wants you. So many of us, we've fallen into that thought that so many people will say it. And I know they're well-meaning. And they say, well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. No, He doesn't. God helps you when you can't help yourself. When you get to a place where you say, I can't do it, God. It's like I told a teenager a few weeks ago, and they just in tears said, preacher, I can't do this anymore. And I said this, good, God got you right where He wants you. What do you mean? I said, because when you can't do anything, you rely on His power. And His power doesn't disappoint. His power strengthens and fuels and changes and makes you to look just like Him. And then He goes on then. He says, as a result, we rejoice in this hope that we have in Jesus. And then He tells us how to get to this hope. And he paints this picture of how God works in those verses that I just read. And the key for this, I believe, is that we should be rejoicing in all that God has done for us. I told him this morning, I said, Christians ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Yet so many of us walk around like Eeyores. Look, I know some of us in this place right now, you're hurting in a loss of a loved one or this or that, whatever is going on. And I know there's some times of grief. But there's got to be joy. in the fact that Jesus is still on the throne. Nothing can take that away from you. Satan can't steal. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so you could have life and have it more abundantly. So how does this whole process work, and how do we look, and how should we be rejoicing, and why should we be rejoicing? Well, that leads us to number two, the beautiful sacrifice for our faith. Hold on 1 minute. I'll be right back. Some of you here today, this is how you're living. By the way, this is a real chain. And you're going, preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. I want you to listen to what Paul is writing here and what he's saying about you and even about some believers. He says, we were still weak. You walk around with this chain long enough and this thing is heavy. You're going to get weak. Matter of fact, it's going to be at some point you're just not going to be able to go on. So you're out there today and you're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to be this, and you're trying to be this man or that woman, and you're trying never to show any pain or suffering or hurt. And the whole time all you're doing is getting weaker and weaker. So the Bible literally says, I've got to highlight, for while we were still weak. And then he says, while we were still sinners. In other words, you were disobedient to God. And I'm going to come back and talk about each one of these. And then he says that last one, while we were still enemies. See, if you're not in that blessed ark with Jesus, you're his enemy. It's not any, well, I just don't have any feelings. No, that means you're not with him. So what we find is ourselves, is we find ourselves dealing with chains every day. While we were still weak, let's look at that really quickly. That word means without strength. In Acts chapter 4, the same word is used for a man that was crippled. The word there, it literally means sickly and feeble and without strength. You can't do anything. Can I make this statement? There is nothing that you can do in and of yourself, by yourself, to get to heaven. You can't do it. You can't earn your way. You can't come to church enough. You can't give enough. You can't get rid of, you can never get rid of these chains. I don't care how you do them. You're going to put them this way. All right, well, let's just put more around here. All you're doing is you're like on the Titanic, shifting the seats as it's going down. The unregenerate, they're unable to do anything because of these chains. We're weak and helpless. Some of you sitting here today, you don't want to ever come to Jesus because you're afraid to show somebody that you're weak. Friends, the only way to come to Jesus is to understand that you can't do it alone. Preacher, I'm never going to show that amount of weakness. Then I want to tell you this truth. You'll never enter heaven. If you don't ever just say, I am wearing this bondage and these chains, and I want to get rid of them. I'm telling you, these things are heavy. But not only are we weak, then it goes on to, we are sinners. And that word sinner, it means to, I love this definition. It means to become, to not to become a participant in. And when you're a sinner, you're not a participant in those that are going to heaven. It means a divinely appointed goal for your life. This person misses out on God's purpose for them to be holy and more like God and to live that godly life. And you're missing out on all the glory that he wants to give you. you're missing out on those blessings. And then he says, we were enemies. The word enemies means to hate, to be hostile, to rebel. Sin is absolute rebellion toward God. Understand that. Flip over in your Bibles to John chapter 3. And you say, well, preacher, I want to walk around like you are right now. I don't want to walk around with those things around my neck. Well, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. You're walking around with something heavier than this. Those spiritual chains of bondage and captivity are a whole lot heavier than these chains. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answers it, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's what the beautiful sacrifice was. Jesus offering himself in your place, in my place. The perfect sacrifice for our sins. Here's how it works. We go from a sentenced sinner, and then we had a sacrificial Savior, and then you get saved saints. Isn't that a great thought? That's the beautiful sacrifice. So let's say we come to Jesus. What happens? We'll go back to our passage. While we were still yet sinners, God showed his love. He demonstrated it. He took the beating. He went and laid in that grave. And then verse 9, now that we have been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath. So here's what happens, man. Praise God. I'm glad I'm at this point in my sermon. When you come to know him and you come to accept his free gift of salvation, what he does is, the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes them away. Amen. Isn't that a great truth? He takes them away that easy. And the Bible says so often in this passage that we should be rejoicing because we're saved. How many of us truly live that way? Because of his grace toward us, his finished work, we have reconciliation. Can I put it this way? I wrote this. Man, I want to read this. This is so good, I thought. Christ knew all my flaws and all my failures. And y'all, they were many. And yet he died for me in spite of me. He's taken away the poor, pitiful me. And he's made a new creation. Therefore, I should rejoice. I have no other option except to rejoice because Christ died for me. My hope is anchored within the veil, and nothing can change that. Out of his death came life, eternal life. Paul says it, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now we are reconciled, we shall be saved. And more than that, we should rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's our problem. It's what we do a lot of times. You know what, Jesus? I think I just want to hold on to that. I think I'm just going to carry this for a while. You know, I'm not going to put it around my neck, but I'm going to feel like I need to carry this. I don't know, God, that you can really do what I need you to do. So I know I laid it down last Sunday when I came to that altar, but I tell you what, I'm maybe going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to carry all my sin again that you died for. And because that way I don't have to rejoice anymore. I don't think you can carry it, Jesus. I've laid it down. But I want to live this way. The Bible says we should rejoice. I quoted this morning, John 8, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I want to close this morning with this. Flip over one chapter, Romans chapter 6, and I want you to see this. Preacher, how do I get rid of these chains? Even though I know Jesus has taken them, but I've picked them back up, and I've continually picked them back up. Preacher, can you tell me once and for all, Romans chapter 6, verse 7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Then you could go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And then, dear one, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. You were not meant to carry those chains. You are meant to walk in freedom because grace has come. Can I ask you this question? How many of you, for the very first time, has ever let go of those chains? Has admitted, I'm walking around with all those chains on me, preacher. I've been doing it because I don't want anybody to see my weakness. I don't want anybody to think I'm helpless. So, preacher, I'll walk around and I'll carry my burden till the day I die. Dear one, you don't have to. Jesus died so he could say there in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus. Trust him as Lord and Savior and repent. Or the other group that's sitting here today, you're saved, you've repented, but you keep carrying those stinking chains around. You keep carrying them around and you want to know what's wrong in my life. Well, what's wrong is you keep carrying around these chains that Jesus took. Would you lay them down? Just like I did. And say, God, because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in me, I want to be free. That's your options in life, y'all. Come to Jesus or reject him. And if you come, let go of the chains.
Thanks for listening to the Marian Message presented by the Mosaic of Marian podcast. If you would like to know more, you can reach us on our Facebook page or on our website, www.marianbcva.com.